Oh, hey there, children of the night. Future Bob here, just letting you know that this was an experimental episode to try to get a chat room back up and running for our show, so I sound a little muffled than I normally do. Bear with us. We'll have a normal episode again next week, and enjoy the show.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Ooh, hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and sets all everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Well, assume cape wearing Bob, yes, because
assuming
because for the folks watching on the Jed TV, Bob is coming to us by satellite over to Zoom. What a technology, what a world we live in, the technology of Bob. But happy to be back here.
Bob. Yes, 100%. We are doing this episode on Zoom because I'm experimenting on something.
Are you experimenting, Bob? No, I'm looking at your screen now. It looks like there's no definitive background. It looks like a bunch of mystery lights back there.
It is, because the way that the webcam's set up on this, I can't change the angle, okay. So my Ouija board background is going on.
Okay. But there's testing going on in progress.
Yes, but my experiment is we're actually going to be broadcasting the show on Twitch tonight.
Oh, okay. Does that work?
So it does work. We're live right now. Oh, say hello to Heather.
Hello, Heather. Yes. So, there's multiple ways to listen to this show. I mean, podcast, radio.
Nah, Twitch. We're just trying something different. This is not going to be something we do every week, maybe once a month. But
You need an off-site producer.
You are my off-site
producer. No, I'm the on-site.
You're my on-site producer and my off-site producer.
Oh, okay. I'm on-site producer, yeah. But we should have another room of producers, actually, Bob. But
I think you're my only producer I need, Count Panic.
We'll have like a theme.
Hey, Missy, how are you?
Characters. Missy as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting different way of doing the show. And maybe once a month we can do this to where, you know, we could do it live from my house so I could Twitch it while we're live, because I can't do Twitch live at the studio.
Tough, yeah.
So this is something just completely different. So if you guys want to watch me chat online, twitch.tv/BobAfterDarkPlays, that's where the show is live right now. Or you could catch me during the week live doing other Bob things, which is pretty cool.
It's been a while since I seen you last. Last time we were at the horror con, I think that was the last time we saw each other. Right? A couple weeks ago.
100%. Yeah. I have, it's been, because 1 week we weren't able to do the show.
Yeah, we had stuff.
We had stuff going on, and then last week something came up and I totally forgot about, so then we had to do that.
Yeah, but you know, we're back and better than ever, Bob.
Back in the saddle. So what has been going on with you, Count Panic? Let's have a chat.
You know, Bob, despite the wacky weather, I've been, you know, flying around town and whatnot, but can't complain too much, Bob. I mean, you know, trying to get ready for the veil thinning for the summer solstice as we approach that. You know, technically we're still in spring here, but summer-like temps hopefully on the way, and yeah, we'll be ready for them, Bob, but not too much all in all. How about you? How you been?
I've been good. Got in from Boston last night.
Boston.
Very late.
Yeah.
So we were in Boston. I was at Anime Boston last weekend. The weekend before that, I actually was at Anime Central speaking on my yokai panel that I was doing. So hello to all my fans out there that have joined from last time I was at ASEN a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And geez, so you've been hopping around. I mean, from
Chicago back to Boston.
Yeah.
Yep. And now I'm off for a week. and traveling, and then I'm in Milwaukee and then Vegas. But the only weeks that's really goofed up for me is I'm good for a while. So
you know what,
don't have to worry about me missing the show, guys.
You know, I got to say, though, I mean, you didn't say it, but you got the meat. You are a famous horror host, but you got the meat. Maybe the most famous horror host of all time a few weeks ago.
I did, yes. Yeah. So we got to go to the Chicago, oh gosh,
what's HorrorCon, right? The HorrorCon, Galaxy.
Yeah, Chicago, Nightmare, not Nightmare in Chicago, jeez, what is Nightmare, the show called? Nightmare Weekend Chicago, Nightmare there Weekend. We go. Jeez.
A lot of these cons, it's hard to keep.
Con. There we go. Well, yeah, lots of conventions, games. Guys. So we had it to where we were, we had the show going there, and we did live interviews with like Barry Bostwick. We did interviews with Steve Gonzalez from Ghost Hunters. You guys could check out the full video on my YouTube, youtube.com/BobAfterDark. I have the whole video on there. But Steve Gonzalez was really cool to meet. We got to meet the Marty from the Voice of Courage, the Cowardly Dog.
Cowardly Dog, yeah.
But yes, the King other Corral. Horror host, the one you're talking about, is Elvira.
Elvira.
I got a chance to meet Elvira and got a picture taken with her, which was really cool. How me and Liz from that? Snatty Time. Yeah.
I mean, what's next, a crossover episode?
I would love that, but no. but it was really cool to be able to interview some celebrities about their paranormal encounters and beliefs, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah. Matt Ryan, John Constantine, got to interview him about paranormal stuff, which was really cool.
Yeah, no, it was a great time out there. I mean, a hot crowd too, Bob, as they say in the business, a hot crowd. Had a lot of fun.
Had a lot of fun. Yeah. You are 100%
yeah.
correct.
Yeah. But that was then, this is now, Bob.
Yes, so let's get back to the business here. Hello from all my new fans that are listening from both Anime Boston and ASEN. How the show works is I divide the show up into two parts, the weird spooky news of the week. That's where me, the Bob, and you, the internet, go scouring the... You, the fans, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual news stories, anything from weird advances that borderline on science fiction to cryptids and ghosts making it in the major media, or particular one haunted doll that's been all over the news lately.
Yeah, and I think
that's
where
we're going to start. I got this article sent in different ways from different people all throughout the week I was gone. But Annabelle has been on tour.
Yeah, the animal.
The Annabelle, the Raggedy Ann doll, not the movie Annabelle, but like the real one from Ed and Lorraine Warren's collection in their museum. She went on tour. She was in Louisiana, and then when she wasn't in Louisiana, she was actually at San Antonio, Texas, where some people believe that she went missing on her way coming to Chicago. Well, truth be told, that that she is not actually missing, but she has been it was just a hoax going around the internet.
She's not missing then.
She's not missing. She's back home in New England at the Warren's Paranormal Museum.
How crazy would that be if she was actually missing? How much do we have to worry about if she was missing?
I would be terrified.
Yeah. Probably rightfully so there, Bob. You don't want that thing running around.
So she's going to be in Rock Island, Illinois on October 4th, apparently, but I will not be there, unfortunately, to see her. So I'm going to see about what we can do about getting her booked for something in the near future.
The show?
Something or a convention, maybe.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Do you want that around you? It seems like it's bad luck. It seems like nothing good could come from meeting Annabelle the doll. It seems like that's something that you should probably run away from real quick if you see it. I mean, you have a fear of dolls already, but the Annabelle doll has gotta be up there. It's got a history of just being haunted. So we'll see, Bob, down the line.
Yes. Yeah. But the folks from the New England Society of Paranormal or for Psychic Research, or NESPR, they have confirmed 100% that she is safely tucked back away.
Safely.
And safely. That's back good. To the Warren's Museum, right. Well, back in her box.
Where she should probably stay.
That is 100% the truth. And we need to squash a rumor. She is not coming to Chicago in June. That was a squashed rumor as well.
She was supposed to.
She was not supposed to.
The rumor.
Somebody was claiming that it was. It was a rumor going around.
Now, who's spreading rumors here?
I don't know. That was such a weird rumor to spread that she was coming to Chicago, but I remember I was in Boston and I heard about it. And I'm on the phone with Pat from Ghostly Podcast, or not on the phone with him. I was messaging him, but I'm on the phone with our pal Jack Chavez. Yeah. And I'm like, Jack, where's Annabelle going to be? I need to know. And he's like, oh, Bob, I think it's a bad rumor. I'm like, no.
He would know.
But Jack was correct. It was just a rumor.
He's very astute, Bob. Now, Bob, I know you can't see the phone lines, but one is lining up right now. So you want me to take it live here?
Yeah, let's take it live.
All right. See if you can hear. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Take me live rather than dead, Bob.
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, I come out and hear that little Boston accent, yeah. Because you've been there quite a bit already, right?
I was only there for been there a short quite a time.
Bit? You've been there multiple times, haven't you?
Yeah, you've been there
I've been there, yeah. This is my fifth time going to Salem and Boston. Fifth or sixth time going. Yeah, I've been there quite a bit.
So they kind of know you out there now? They know who Bob After Dark is?
I wish they would.
The real Bob?
No, unfortunately not. Nobody there really.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to change that up a bit, though.
We're gonna have to get the count to do something about that. I mean, he's your count and your producer. But did you say we're talking about a doll missing? A doll that like something that you're not into, not but let alone a haunted doll? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, Annabelle is the most famous of the haunted dolls. Next to, I would argue, she's definitely more famous than Robert. But she, no offense to Robert, by the way. But
well,
she,
I never heard of either one of them, so no offense to Robert or Annabelle.
No offense to either one, but no, they're incredibly famous. They made movies about Annabelle. I think there's a Robert the Doll movie. I've never actually seen it, though.
And you're trying to get this Annabelle on the air in studios?
If she comes through Chicago, I'm going to see if we can get them to take a stop.
Wait a minute. How is that going to work? I mean, you know, your thing with dolls. I mean, how
now, John, how would that sometimes work? You just have to suck it up and deal.
There you go. Wow. That's what I hear. I like to hear the old floor your dad would be proud right now.
Oh,
the old
floor is
suck it up.
That.
You got to do what you got to do.
Listen.
Yeah, boy, Bob. That's what I like to hear. Now I'm all thanks, pumped John. Up now.
Pumped up.
I this is the one time you'll ever hear me say it, but yes, I 100% would be excited to have Annabelle on the show.
There you go. Well, if you're excited, I'm excited. So I hope your wish comes true. But all right, let's get on with the show. You take it easy.
Thanks, John. And anybody listening live at home could call in too. 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100.
So he was right there. I mean, you were kind of facing your fears, Bob. I mean, this is a turning point
Annabelle,
in your life.
It's, yeah, but man, it is, that is the haunted doll. That's not just a haunted doll. It's the haunted doll.
I don't know.
I saw a video from her appearance in San Antonio, and there were lines wrapped around. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, she commands attention wherever she goes.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Vic, hello in chat. And hello, Missy says, Annabelle on bad would be fire. Yes, 100%. Or it would cause a fire. I don't know.
Get it done.
That was actually one of the rumors going around that she caused a fire at a plantation. Did you hear about that?
I saw that. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah. So she was in Louisiana. And when she was in Louisiana, a plantation caught on fire. So, and people are saying it was Annabelle getting out that.
Yeah. Could be. We have no way to say it wasn't.
What would be needed for protection for Bob from Annabelle? Oh, man.
I mean, how many security?
Don't you wish any bad luck? No bad luck wishes at all. The protection I would need from I would be rocked out in every crystal imaginable, like a suit of armor.
You really can't defeat her, right? I mean, it's
Oh, no, man. One doll. One doll. I would suck it up for the one. Maybe Robert. I would suck it up for Robert too if I ever got a chance to see him at his museum.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna put it on the list for you, Bob.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll make it happen.
So, all right, you ready to move on?
Yeah, sure. What's the next one?
I would have never in a million years thought I'd be doing an episode where I have to talk about Paris Hilton.
Oh, what happened to her?
So this comes to us from geo.tv, written by Webdesk. Paris Hilton shares a spooky video of her toddler son claiming to see a ghost in their Beverly Hills home while asking other parents if they've had similar experiences. Paris Hilton revealed that she felt spooked after her two-year-old son Phoenix told her that he was a guest, that he saw a ghost in the Beverly Hill mansion. The hotel heiress shared a video on her social media showing Phoenix pointing to different parts of their house, insisting that there were ghosts in there in Mama's room. In the clip, Phoenix can be heard saying, "There's a ghost in there," while Paris responds with surprising curiosity. She captioned the video as, "Well, I'm spooked," to all my hashtags. Sliving moms, SLIVING moms. I don't know what that is, but has this ever happened? Your little ones would love to know for research purposes. According to the Daily Mail, Paris has previously opened up about her own paranormal experiences, including eerie events at her grandparents' house, including floating objects and encountering during an Ouija board session.
Oh, well, that's where it all started, Bob.
Yep, so hashtag panics take, Paris Hilton's kids seeing ghosts.
Yeah, well, I mean, they said it started from a Ouija board session, right? So, yeah, I always said, Bob, you shouldn't be messing around with those things. You never know what you could unleash, and it looks like for Paris Hilton's kid, it'll unleash something there. You can't mess around with them, Bob. I don't touch them. I know you like to dabble in the Ouija boards, but nothing good could come of it. Open portals.
I've never had Paris Hilton haunt me from a Ouija board session. That's for sure.
Well, she's still alive too. That'd be hard for her.
All right, Kyle, ready for our last news article?
Yeah.
All right. So the last news article actually comes to us from Parade.com. This was written by Erica Gerald Mason. Target just pulled a spooky surprise. Its 2025 Halloween line has secretly appeared.
Oh,
so they let's see here. Get ready to swap your swimsuits for spooky season swag. Target has stealthily unleashed a portion of its highly anticipated 2025 Halloween collection online, sending shivers of excitement and mad dash to digital cards throughout the dedicated community of Halloween enthusiasts. While an official full-blown launch will immersive in stools, in-store displays is still likely weeks, if not months, away. The retail giant began populating its website with tantalizing selection of its popular Hyde and Eek boutique offerings. This quiet release strategy, while not a grand announcement, is a nod to the growing Summerween trend.
Summerween.
Eager fans refuse to wait for falling leaves and cooler temperatures to embrace the spooky spirit. For many, Target's Halloween collection is a yearly highlight. Known for its unique, often viral, viral decor pieces, who could forget the legendary internet sensation Lewis, the 8-foot-tall talking jack-o'-lantern whom took social media by storm in previous years. While it's still too early to tell if a new must-have character will emerge from the 2025 lineup, these early online offerings are still generating a significant amount of buzz. Eagle-eyed shoppers and dedicated Halloween bloggers have quick to spot and share new arrivals. Specific finds already making waves, including adorable werewolf bird figurine, complete with fetching red plaid shirt, an outdoor light of vampire, and beating heart ghost. All designs transform into the yard delightfully frightful scene. This year's collection has already hints of mix of nostalgic meets and playful details, tapping into the desires for both nostalgia and novelty. This quiet release also serves strategic move by Target by gradually rolling out its Halloween offerings online. The retailer can gauge early interest and build anticipation for the official launch. It also dedicated fans the opportunity to snag coveted items before they inevitably sell out closer to October 31st. Of course, this early online drop is just a sneak peek. The full in-store experience with its immersive displays and the thrill of the discovering hidden gems down every aisle is yet to come. However, for those who simply can't wait to start planning their Halloween decor, Target's early online offerings come as a welcome treat. So if you're already dreaming of haunted houses and pumpkin spiced everything, head over to Target's website. Just be warned, the growing popularity of Summerween and dedicated followings of Target's Halloween collection, these early online treasures are likely to disappear faster than a ghost in the night. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, well, you know what? I go by the theory we should respect all the seasons in order, Bob. I know a lot of people want to jump the gun here and think about Halloween in May, but, you know, I'm one for taking it day by day here. I don't like when Christmas jumps Halloween, Bob. So I'm not for, you know, a Halloween jumping the summer crowd as well. I think everybody has their days ahead as far. There's plenty of action to go around. I say once you hit September, Bob, then you can start getting a little spooky. That's my theory.
I mean, that's it's a good theory.
I mean, because you, as a Halloween guy, as a Halloween guy yourself, you probably don't feel great when Christmas music is playing in October.
No. Halloween is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Now, keep in mind, I'm regurgitating the words that Vix tells me on the normal.
Yeah.
She's already.
Are the decorations up though?
Halloween shop. No, the Halloween decorations are not up just yet. But I promise you, her pumpkin army is coming out soon.
Are we saying pre 4th of July or post 4th of July?
I can help it, not until August or September, but I'm not that lucky.
Yeah. Well, again, September, you could kind of start things maybe rolling there. But yeah, it's the exact same thing of people playing Christmas music in October. You just say, hey, hold off here a little bit. Bob, we barely cracked the summer temps. We gotta slow our roll a little bit here, Bob. We got to be careful. We got to put up the lawn gnomes and pink flamingos out first.
Decorate your little flamingos with skeletons.
That's true, too. They have those as well, don't they? Yeah,
exactly. But the Summerween trend is really interesting.
Summerween.
Tropigoth kind of feel where it's
Hawaiian shirts.
Spooky but tropical.
Yeah, like Hawaiian pumpkin shirt, right? You have a couple.
Yes, or carving watermelons.
Carving watermelons. See, I can get behind that. That's not a bad 100%.
One. Yeah. No, but Summerween is a interesting concept.
People are partaking?
What's that?
That's like Christmas in July, right?
It's very similar to Christmas in July, except Halloween is a lifestyle. Horror films, the vibe.
But is Christmas a lifestyle?
Yes, Gravity Falls did bring us Summerween ectosus and chat.
Some would argue, though, that the holiday season is a lifestyle as well.
Can't panic.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
I'm just speaking for all sides here, Bob. I'm just speaking for all sides.
You're playing devil's advocate.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
My word.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll let you have your fun there. So this stuff is not in stores, though. This is just online right now, right?
It is just online. But however, I was at an at-home yesterday, and they did have a singular Halloween decoration.
Maybe they forgot it from last season.
I'm pretty sure they're, because here's the thing, Halloween shopping hunting starts like in June. I swear to you, they start launching the new stuff in June and July.
And then, wow. All right. Well, let's get ready. I mean, at this point, just start carving the turkey and singing the carols and put up the tinsel and all that stuff.
Stop it, Count. All right. You're killing me here.
We'll leave it at that.
All right, Count. So you ready to have a conversation about a break?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Count Panic and I will be right back. For our live fans, just stick around for a couple seconds. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
Hello, Count Panic.
Hey,
we're
Bob.
Back.
We're back.
What'd you do during break, Count Panic?
Bob, I put up the Christmas tree.
No, you didn't.
It's Christmas in May.
You're a monster.
What'd you do?
In the literal sense. I was actually looking into getting into competitive Pogs.
Oh, yeah, Pogs. They take me back.
That takes you back. Did you play Pogs in the 90s?
I didn't have a lot of them, Bob, but, you know, that was a very trendy thing back in the 90s. You weren't cool unless you had some Pokemon cards and your Furby and your Pogs.
Yes, 100%.
And how's that going for you?
Panic. So, because I'm following up the show post-ASIN and Anime Boston, I wanted to do an episode about a yokai.
Yokai.
Do you know what a yokai is? Do you remember
We talked about yokai before.
Yes, I know. Do you remember what a yokai is?
Oh, Bob, you know I need a refresher here. Do I have time to go back and listen?
All right. So what a yokai is a Japanese ghost story or cryptid story or a story about a god or goddess or demonic entities. So here in America, we kind of separate our ghost stories and our paranormal stories. So you might have a ghost story, you might have a cryptid story, you might have, you know, for the folk that do like the angelic sightings and numbers and stuff like that. Those are all stories that are kind of separated. And just because you're into cryptids might not mean you're into ghosts. And if you're into ghosts, you might not be into cryptids. In this concept in Japan, yokai is one term that kind of talks about the entirety of everything.
Okay. Now I get it. Now I remember.
Yes. So tonight, we are going to be talking about the Rokuro Kubi.
Rokuro Kubi.
The Rokuro Kubi.
The Rokuro
Kubi. The long-necked monster.
Okay.
So, are you ready to hear
I'm ready, Bob.
All right, so the Rokuro Kubi is a certain type of Japanese yokai. They almost look like humans with some differences. There is a type whose neck stretches and another whose head detaches and flies around freely. That's the Nuke Kubi. The Rokuro Kubi appear in classical spirit tales and yokai works. The word may have derived from the word Rokuro, which refers to a potter's wheel, a water well's pulley, since it elongates, or an umbrella handle, which also elongates. In both the types of creatures we mentioned before, the one's neck who separates and the one's neck who stretches, these were the last of the Roku Kirby, whereas the others came before. The Nuki Kubi sometimes perform bad deeds such as attacking at night or drinking victims' blood. It's theorized that the type that's head separates from the body, the vampiric type, has a weakness when it is sleeping and the head is floating around. If the body moves, they cannot be reunited to the body. Classical literature about the Roku Kirby describe people witnessing and encountering floating heads at nighttime. Sometimes the action of the head separating from the body is seen as the soul wandering away from the body. For example, in the Sori Monogata, which was written back in 1663, in the chapter A Woman's Wild Thoughts About Wandering Around, the head separating from the body interpreted to be the woman's soul wandering while asleep. In the same book, a man saw one of these creatures that changed into a chicken and a woman's head. So he took his sword and chased the head, and the head fled into a home, and people said that they heard a voice from inside say, "I had a scary dream. I was chased by a man with a sword. I ran all the way back home, and then I woke up. A different type appears in different types of literature and art, which certain illustrations are from inspiration of the Sorori Monogatari, which is a story where a man chases one of these creatures all the way home, and it is said that the woman had been shamed by a crime that she was committed. So as a result, she left her husband, shaved her hair, and eventually her head would separate from her body.
Hmm.
Interesting stuff.
It is interesting, yeah.
What do you think so far?
Yeah, terrifying. I mean, any story that ends with somebody separating their head from their body, I mean, you just know you're not in for a good evening right there. But yeah, terrifying. And I do recall, Bob, and the memories are coming back to me on the lore of all this, too. So
absolutely. It's all
flooding back.
So different origins have been attributed to this yokai. The most common one has a religious connotation, which is not surprising in the land of the rising sun. According to this belief, the metaphysical creatures have been broken into precepts of Buddhism and were cursed as a result. Their punishment is a life as a monster roaming amongst humans. To repent, the creature targets people who do not respect Buddhist philosophy. In a particular case, the creature behaves as an evil being, and it murders its prey by devouring it or sucking its blood by absorbing vital energy. So it's like a long-necked vampire in a way.
Basically.
Other explanations are of psychological nature. The transformation manifested by the elongation of the neck would be the supernatural expression of a desire that a person... It should be remembered here that the Roku Kurobi person is not aware of his or her condition. The few moments that come to mind are attributed to dreams. In other legends, they are oni, or godlike creatures, who play at frightening people, equivalent to vampires for Europeans, or a woman seeking revenge, such as the demon Hania. So, there's different types of Roku Kurobi, depending on gender. In legendary stories, some male actual creatures that exist, but Japanese mythology often assimilates this yokai to a long-necked woman whose head resembles that attached to a body. The female creatures attack men, while long-necked men would hunt women at night. Another typology is considered the ferocity as a classification criterion. Thus, there are gentle Roku Kurobi who just like to play amusing tricks, drinking oil from lanterns, scaring, and spying, while others push the boundary into the point of transforming themselves into bloodsuckers. Generally, the cruelty is blamed on the flying head yokai. These are the most dominant types of the Roku Kurobi, as we were talking about before. These monsters have a detached wandering head, and some of these Japanese folktales say they are the original prototype to what we have now. In Japanese literature, there's full stories whose main entities are yokai. This is literary tradition since the Edo period. Here are some of the legends concerning the Rokuro Kurobi. Beware, after me telling you all of this, you may have difficulty sleeping at night.
Okay, I'll be alarmed at that.
One of the myths is in Yomihon, Yomihon, a famous book from the Edo period, tells the story of a monk and a woman who run away together. During their journey, the woman gets ill and collapses. Being short of money, her companion decides to murder her. Later on, the monk renounces his religious beliefs and indulges in the pleasures of life. Moving from end to end, he would end up falling for the daughter of one of his hosts and became her lover. At night, the girl metamorphosed and the monk found himself in the presence of his lover who, with an elongated neck, rebuked him. Feeling remorseful, the monk explained everything to the owner of the inn, and to his surprise, the owner confides in him that his inn is financed by money stolen from a woman that he had killed. And as punishment, he had a Roku Kurobi daughter with a face that changes in appearance. As an epilogue, the monk reiterates the Buddhism religion that builds the tomb for his first wife. Salvation is in religion, is what the author of the story appears to be saying. The Roku Kurobi in this story is not an evil one, but this is not always the case. The following second legend has a much less happy ending. In a story by Matsuru Seizen, a pregnant woman is afflicted with an incurable disease. A strange peddler told the husband that the liver of a white dog was a miracle drug. The husband then kills a white dog and serves the liver to his wife. She regained her health, and the husband concluded that the peddler was a true healer after all. Unfortunately, the conclusion was hasty. His wife gave birth to a Rokuro Kirby girl whose head separated as soon as she was born. This was when the white dog reappears and attacks the head, thus killing the baby. Note that this legend is based on the animalistic side of the Shinto region, which considers that animals and objects also have a soul. From medieval folklore to recent video games, Japanese culture is full of yokai. All kinds of different ones. And Japanese urban legends have been adapted by artists from various backgrounds. Thus we find monsters and humanoid creatures and illustrations all kinds of ways. So, what do you think, Count Panic, of our long-necked friend, the Rokuro Kobe?
Yeah, I mean, long neck, you said like vampire-like, right, in a sense, in a way, a little bit there. Maybe a distant relative of mine. I don't think I have as long as a neck for this, but truly terrifying, Bob. I mean, again, it's something when you see on the streets, you might reconsider taking part in a conversation with it. I mean, how do you defeat something like this? Say you need to, Bob. How do you go about it?
Strangle the stretched neck.
Now, this is a good plan of action. The longer the neck, the more strangling you get done. And boom, right there, you have it, correct?
100%. And this is one of those creatures, too, where if you have the type where the head separates from the body, it then becomes a case of you just needing to take the body and move it, because then the head doesn't remember where to go, and it unfortunately loses its power and dies.
Yeah. I hate when that happens, doesn't
it? 100%.
Yeah.
So this was one of the quicker stories I had, but I still wanted to share it with all of you guys because it's one of the most commonly depicted yokai you'll ever see. I would say it's up there with the likes of the Tanuki and the Kappa. You see a lot of her iconology and different artworks and whatnot. So
yeah,
that is our story of this creature.
Yeah, no, Bob. Again, terrifying in general. Something you wouldn't want to run to on the street. And I think we're better for knowing about it now. Just go for the neck.
Yes.
Just in case. 100. Yeah.
And so, Count Panic, do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Yeah, you know, it was a nice show here, Bob. I'm glad we got to experiment on some technology here today. But, yeah, look forward to a great episode. I'll send you the podcast here right after the show, of course, as always. But
as always, and then it'll be up tomorrow for you guys to listen to in your enjoyment.
Yeah, simple as that.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to wish all of you sweet dreams. And to my mom, I just want to wish you good night. And to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.